Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you, Pastor Mitchell, for allowing us to present a message here, and looking forward to getting back to Cambodia. And we just want to say we appreciate our church. We appreciate your friendship. And ever since Christmas, we've been staying in the missions department. It's been a real blessing, and you folks have been a great encouragement to us. And thank the Lord for our home church. Thank the Lord for this year. And God has answered many prayers. And we're going to share a few of those tonight, but we are just honored to be serving with you, be an extension of Fairhaven Baptist Church. And it's a blessing being able to serve with you. And God is using you, and God is blessing your ministry here, and it's a blessing to see how God is using and blessing his work abroad as well. We are thankful even today God answered prayer and brought in one of our passports. And they said it'd be 5 to 7 weeks, and it's been 4 weeks, and it came in. So praise the Lord for that. But God works in amazing ways, and so we count it a privilege to serve with Fairhaven Baptist Church. You asked how we're doing. Well, we're swimming, and it doesn't mean we're swimming in Lake Fairhaven either. We're going 100 miles an hour, it seems. But we're getting ready to launch off. August 23rd, Tuesday. So we're blasting off and not sure where we're going to land. But now we're going to take a flight over to Bangkok, Thailand, and then take a taxi the rest of the way. So we'd really, really appreciate your prayers for God's people, for the work. Victory Baptist Church. Pray that they would fight the good fight. Pray that they would preach God's word and walk in truth and train the next generation to serve the Lord. And we're all in this fight together. Pray that we would continue to preach against sin and continue to shine the light for the generation that God has for us to reach. It is a great work, and we thank God for it. But would you pray for us as we head off to our jungle hideout and go back to the work that God has for us to do. So we thank you so much for all the encouragement. And y'all are probably happy to get rid of us now, so we get to head off, go back home. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. Short verse here. We're going to preach on intercessory prayer tonight. The Bible says, brethren, pray for us. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that in the middle of the week we can come together with God's people and we can hear good songs and sing praises to God. And thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, the fellowship. And now as we gather around your word, tonight, Lord, I pray you challenge us. Give us a passion for souls and give us a desire for the things of God. And especially tonight, Lord, you challenge us for intercessory prayer. God, speak to my heart, speak to all of our hearts tonight. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We think of the very basics of the Christian life, and I think all of us would agree that these are elementary practices of a faithful Christian. To pray and to read his Bible, taking time with the Lord on a daily basis, and as the girls just sang a few minutes ago, that we will follow the Lord every single day. Amen. These things are so important. And I think we can never graduate from these elementary duties. Right. Thinking about the duties that God gives us to pray. I mean, I remember when first got saved, and these things were taught to us, we had to read our Bibles, we had to pray. You know, the older I get, I see how important these important practices are. They're vital. They're significant to our growth. They're so essential. And so may God continue to work in our hearts about this important duty of prayer, but we would also see it's a real privilege. We're not going to preach all about prayer tonight, but we think about intercessory prayer. specifically intercession for others. If you think about that word, it means the action of intervening on behalf of others. So how much do we make this a priority? To pray on the behalf of others. Praying for the needs of others. Do we not understand tonight that all of us have needs? Is there anyone here tonight that has too much prayer? Too many people praying for us. No, I don't think that's... We are lacking prayer. The truth is, if we think about all these things, it's so elementary, but the Bible does remind us in Revelations to strengthen the things that remain. We live in a day when everybody wants to replace what God has ordained and what God has told us, out with the old and in with the new. But be careful that you're replacing the very essentials of the Christian life. They want more programs. They want all these, new things that are so relevant. They think they're relevant. But can I remind you tonight that prayer is our lifeline? We want all of us, every one of us, to seriously pray for one another. And I'm going to have two parts of the message tonight. I'm not going to preach a Cambodian message, okay? Two parts. The first part is prayer required. And then secondly, more personal and practical, prayer requested. Prayer required, prayer requested. How many times in the epistles do we see the apostle praying? Some 43 times he makes mention that he's praying. Or asking them to pray for him. You see, our greatest need is for God to be, is for God's help and God's power. For God to come down and show his strength. There's one missionary to the Islamic people. He said the history of missions is so great. But he said the history of missions is a history of answered prayer. Hudson Taylor said, God's word done God's way will never lack God's supply. I think we could add to that, God's work done God's way will always have the backing of God's people praying. Anytime that there is a major work that is done for the Lord, can I remind you that I believe there are people praying. God's saints on their knees praying. Praying corporately is important. Praying privately in your homes is important. But praying. You see, the Bible says in James 5:15 that we ought to pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent has this idea of pursuing a lively prayer life, an active, passionate, pursuing. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray for one another. God requires it of us that we would pray. He commands us to pray. Not just pray for ourselves. Not just pray for our children. Pray for God's people. Pray for one another. 1 Timothy reminds us, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Isn't it amazing that God, ruler of heaven and earth, that he would ask of us, he wants to have a conversation with us. He wants us to converse with him. There was that fellowship in the garden like none other. And then Adam and Eve, they broke the fellowship because they wanted to do their own thing. And every day God would come down and want to talk with them. And he walks with me and he talks with me. Remember that song? When I first heard it, I was like, Andy? Who's Andy? Andy talks with me. But you know, God wants to talk to us. God wants to converse with us. It's not an audible voice, but praise the Lord, he speaks to us through his word. And I can speak to him through prayer. What a privilege we have to pray, and then also to pray for one another. God commands his children, remember to pray for one another, because all of us have needs. All of us have fears. All of us have stresses. All of us have issues. All of us have needs. How about praying for one another? You know, if you look at the list of all the weapons that God gave us for warfare, Ephesians 6, you get all the way down to the end. And God says, praying always. Praying always. It's sort of a given. You should already know this. Praying always. God reminds me that I need to pray with all supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think this means we take a definite time every day, every week. We have definite times for prayer. When Daniel went to pray, he prayed how many times a day? 3 times. These were definite times. It was in his schedule. I'm going to go pray. He would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to pray for one another and pray that we would know the peace of God. Pray that God would give us strength and God would continue working in us, but prayer is required. You see, God, so many times, points us back to these elementary things. And sometimes we just move past them. And we think, well, I've got more important things to do. Come on. Oh, I've got big jobs ahead of me. There's nobody as busy as I am. Sometimes we're too busy. And we're going to shortchange the power of God. And we will sacrifice those things that matter for all of eternity. And we will follow after those things more temporal. Did you know that God would have us to pray for the lost? And pray for the heathen? 175 times in the book of Psalms. You would never think the book of Psalms is a missions book. But if you think about it, in the book of Psalms, 175 times there are references to the heathen, to the ends of the earth, that all the world, to the heathen. Who are these people? They're not Israel. These are all the people. These are the generations around us. These are folks who live around us and across the world to the uttermost parts. God wants all people to know him. The truth is, all of us need more prayer. Brethren, when we embark on what God has called us to do, as William Carey said it so well, I will go down into the pit and mine for souls. But he turned to his friends, to these pastor friends, and he said, if you will hold the ropes, if you will hold the ropes in prayer, if you will have our backs, we will go. He said, he reminds us of prayer. God's work has to be done with prayer. Can I remind you, God is not obligated to bless our works. God is not automatically going to bless us with fruit. God is not automatically going to lead the way for us. We need to pray for one another. Fairhaven needs prayer, amen? All the churches around the world need more prayer. Victory Baptist Church needs more prayer. And I thank God we serve a prayer-answering God. He hasn't fallen asleep. He isn't on vacation. And he's not like some of us, hard to get a hold of, right? And the voicemail is full. But you know, God wants to answer our prayers. 2 weeks ago, he answered a prayer. He gave us A man that's been coming to church almost 2 years, we've been praying for his salvation. And his life is a train wreck. It's a mess. He's 24, 25 years old. And he's just wandering about. Well, God used a tragedy where someone died. And God used a tragedy to wake him up. And he's in church, he gets out of the service, and he says, I can't go home tonight without getting saved. I need to get this settled tonight. He's heard it all, but he finally came to a decision, and God saved his soul. But you know, God is in the prayer-answering business. And God wants us to pray for one another. If you would turn over to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to finish up this point here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3, it's interesting here. Verse number 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Seems that Paul had this endearing relationship with the church at Philippi. Loved these people, and they loved him, and they loved God more than anything else. But verse 5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Excuse me, but the apostle is off in Rome, okay? Almost 1,000 miles away. I don't know. I didn't look at the distance from Philippi to Rome, but it's a long ways. And he sends this letter to the church at Philippi, and he says, we are having great fellowship for your fellowship in the gospel. So how is it that he's so far away, he has no email, he has no Facebook, FaceTime, whatever. He has no social network. He says, we're having fellowship. Can I tell you how we can be connected even though we're 10,000 miles away? We can be connected through prayer. And the prayer line is a lot more stable than the internet line. Because the internet's not always stable. But praise the Lord, we can be connected through prayer. And God's word goes forward through the prayers of God's people. Nearly 10 times the Apostle Paul says, pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for the word. Pray for the word of God that it would continue to increase. You'd think sometimes we ask people to pray for us, that seems kind of selfish. It's not selfish motivated. It's not self-motivated. It's divine motivated. And it's good for us to ask each other for prayer. If the Apostle Paul needed prayer, I think we need prayer, amen? We have needs. Lord, would you help us? Lord, we pray for this person, we pray for that person, we pray for these people. And you get a system, you get a prayer list. And you have a prayer life. God blesses his people who pray. And you know what's really fun too? Is when you see God answer prayers. It's a great blessing. It's great rejoicing. But if we're just, you know, disingenuous and, you know, we just kind of go through it and just kind of pray, you know, generally for everybody, and you don't really see answers to prayer. God commands us tonight, pray for one another. We do pray for our home church. We want you to know that. And I believe many of you pray for us. Would we tonight think about how God commands us to pray and to continue to grow in your prayer life. The Apostle Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That's in Romans chapter 15. He asks them to pray and strive together in prayer for him. I'm thankful that people are praying for the people in Victory Baptist Church. And so many times, as we're out in our churches, some people come up and say, I pray for you every day. There's nothing in all the world that means more to me. There's older people. They're feeble. They cannot do much. But I tell you, they can pray. We have some prayer warriors. And Sunday, there was one came up to me and said, we pray for you every single day. I tell you, there's nothing greater. Their churches have all the funds, all the money. They have quite a labor force. But I ask you, how are they praying? And are they praying for the works that are abroad as well? 10 times Paul requests prayer for himself, for the ministry. He doesn't ask prayer for his broken down chariot. I don't know about that, you know. You know, whatever. But he's always asking prayer for the things that really matter, for the things of God. Secondly, tonight, not only talk about prayer required, but also prayer requested. We're moving right along tonight, but let's think about prayer requested. And as you consider the mission field of Cambodia, and you consider all these other missionaries, you know, you've got a number of missionaries, and hope you pray for each one of them. And pray for the Reardons. They need your prayers right now. Amen. And they're really going through some fiery trials too. But hope you'll pray for them. Secondly, tonight, think about prayer requests. And if you want to jot these down, I'm going to give you 5 things that personally, and I think other missionaries, they would agree with me. We would ask for you to pray for these 5 things. If you want to jot these down, that'd be great. And I praise the Lord, you know, as we have services on Sunday. Can I just share this with you? We have services at 8:30 on Sunday morning. You know, people get up early. We like to have church early. And just tell you this, we are 12 hours ahead of you. So it's 8:30 here in Chesterton. Praise the Lord, 12 hours ahead. While you guys are having prayer meeting, we're having church. All right? So we just praise the Lord that while we're meeting together, and sometimes, you know, there could be a black electric outage or something, you know, there's these things come up, but I can bank on it. There are men praying, there are ladies praying, and that we know the people at Fairhaven are praying, and there's other people praying too. But that means all the world to us. And we praise the Lord for that. But think about tonight, there's 5 things. Number one, would you pray for, number one, divine strength. Divine strength. You see, missionaries are just normal people. I'm probably below average. I don't know. They're not superhuman. They're not super Christian. There are some days we just don't feel like going out into the ministry. We don't feel like getting those lessons ready. We don't feel like getting that discipleship material ready. We just don't feel like knocking on doors. We're not some super Christian, but pray for divine strength. The Apostle Paul said, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are cast down. But he said, we are not distressed. We are not in despair. We are not forsaken, and we are not destroyed. We can keep on plowing. We can keep on grinding away. And God gave him the strength. Amen? Pray for divine strength. All of us need more strength. There are battles for every one of us to fight. There are trials. There are times we get lonely. There are times we get distressed. You know, it would be easy to succumb to depression at times. You're in a place where, you know, there's no other missionaries, or there's not much fellowship, or there's not many other churches. The pool of Christians is very, very small. And then God gives you trials. But it's okay, as long as you go through it with God. And the trials are fiery trials. You know, somebody once said something. They said, God will never give you anything too great for you to bear. That's a nice thing to say, but it's not true. God will never give you anything too great to bear. Sometimes he will. That's why we have God. And there are some trials. And there, you know, the thing is, every day, it just would be a whole lot better if we started right with God. And we put God first. We need divine strength, amen? Secondly, pray for family needs. Pray for family needs. Like any other family here, we have needs. We have weaknesses, we have strengths, whatever. We have needs, you know? There are physical needs, there are health issues, there are emotional needs, financial needs, spiritual needs. And we would appreciate your prayers for our number one ministry, that is to our family. We hope to raise our children to serve the Lord. Can you tell me where that's going to be? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be Cambodia or where it's going to be. But wherever it is, we hope they will serve the Lord. And we would implore you, would you pray for our family? And pray that God would prepare them to serve him. We know that we are imperfect parents. And we know that we fall short. And whatever we are lacking, we pray that God will make it up. And that God will use others to help train them as well. So pray for our family needs. Number one, pray for divine strength. And number two, would you pray for family needs? It's a personal issue tonight. Number three, would you pray for true conversions? True conversions. We live in Cambodia. Oh yeah, they're Buddhist, Hindu, and whatever else they want to be. And they're used to reciting prayers. They're used to having spirit guides to make a count. And then you stand there and tell them there's one God, one Savior, one way to heaven. And they're wondering, what planet did you come from? And some of them, oh, I'll pray. You want me to pray? Okay, what do you want me to say? You know, the thing is about the gospel is all or nothing. It's not an add-on. It's not a tag-along. We don't have the gospel and something else. So pray for true conversions. Because for many of them, it takes months and years, weeks and weeks, week in, week out, sowing the seed and watering. And just pray that God would give us true conversions. The Bible says in Thessalonians that they turn from their idols to serve the living and true God. There's a turning, isn't there? And there's a turning from religion. Religion is false hope. Religion is deadbeat. Religion has no hope. But we serve the God of hope. We serve the living God. And they're praying to all of these idols, and they're thinking behind that idol there's a spirit. And you know, I've got to give these offerings. I've got to pray to the spirits. And all my ancestors, you know, their spirits are coming back. And you know, that we just pray that God would give us more true conversions. And I believe there are some. We've had our share of those that are just, you know, falling in step and saying a prayer. But thank the Lord, there are some. So pray that God would give us true conversions. You know, this idea of syncretism, where everything is just, you know, you can fuse it all together, mix it all up, and, you know, it's going to taste good. But really, you know, God is not pleased with it. God will never accept it. So be careful of syncretism. Number four, would you pray for wisdom and discernment? Wisdom and discernment. There's a lot of things we learn in Bible college and learn from my home church, you know, but we all need more wisdom. How do we deal with people on the field? What do I tell a young man, been saved for 7 or 8 years, and his brother? What do I tell him? 4 months ago, their dad got a stroke and passed away, 53 years old. Their mom's 50 years old. 4 weeks ago, she gets hit by a drunk driver, and she dies. What did I tell them? They called me. What did I tell them? I don't know what to tell them. I pray with them. I weep with them. I care for them. I don't know what to tell them. But you know what? We get wisdom from God. Amen. And God's word gives us comfort. God's word gives us hope. And when we don't have an answer, God gives an answer. Amen. The Bible says that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Things we never planned for. You get blindsided. But I'm thankful I know God. There's a lot of people who have to deal with their troubles and they don't know God. I'm thankful we know God. I'm thankful the gospel reached down to two young men that are trying to live their lives for the Lord. And they don't want to go down the same path as their parents did. They're on a new path because the gospel made all the difference in their lives. Some of the finest young men you could ever meet. They love God and they want to serve him. Pray for wisdom. How do we deal with the pandemic? They tell us we can't have church. How do you deal with it? Well, we still have church, but we have church in cell groups. We still meet together. We, you know, you meet. But you can't work it out. So they said you can't have over 15. Thank you very much. 15 over here, 15 over there. But you know God gives wisdom. So pray. The Bible says that God has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. With God is wisdom. And if we get close to God, he'll give us more wisdom. Amen. Think of number five, would you pray for more laborers? I cannot shut this down without praying for more laborers. You see, Jesus left us one request, one prayer request, and he said this, would you pray? Because the harvest truly is plenteous. And it kind of reminds us that we live in America and we enjoy America. But we are 5%. Another 95% is outside. And maybe God would have you to pray. Oh yes, pray for more laborers. Pray that God will send forth more help, more laborers, more preachers of the gospel. But while you're praying, Lord, is it I? Do you want me to go? Lord, is it my children? Would you want them to go? As you pray for more laborers, and boy, some of them, boys, you know, some churches, they're so happy to have missionaries go, and oh, we're so happy your family's going too, and your children hope they surrender their lives to go to the field. And so what about you? Oh, they're busy, and boy, they have all of these things, and you know, these careers, and all these dreams. Well, maybe God wants you to prepare his next missionary. So while we're praying for more laborers, pray that God would also call our own. And he would use them to go do his work. Cities of 100,000 people, one independent Baptist church. Cities of 50,000, villages of 10,000, 20,000, by the dozens. They have the Mormons, they have Jehovah's Witness, they have the SDAs, they have the Methodists, they have the Catholics, they have the Buddhists, but they don't have the Baptists. Where are the laborers? Pray that God would raise up more laborers. Pray that God would bring them from the inside out, from his church in Cambodia, and then pray that God would also bring more laborers from our churches. In America. But I ask you tonight, brethren, Are you praying? We can have a connection. We can have great fellowship. And the word of God, the ministry of God goes forward again because of God's people praying. So when we look at our list and we say, well, you know, it's my to-do list. I gotta pray for these guys. Well, I promise it's good to pray. But can you pray fervently? And pray calling out names, even though you may not be able to pronounce them. But calling out their names to God and begging God, would you please reach down? Would you change their hearts? God, would you bring their attention to God, to view God, to see the Lord of heaven and earth, to see God who can save their souls? Would you pray for us? Would you pray for all of your missionaries? Would you practice intercessory prayer? You can make an impact in our ministries. I am sure that we will get to heaven and there will be hundreds of people that have prayed. Prayed for your ministry, prayed for our ministry. People whose names maybe we never know. But there's coming a time of reckoning. And I believe God recognizes those who have prayed. And they will have part of the fruit of the blessing of that rejoicing in the harvest. That all of us can be, we can all have a part. We are co-laborers in his harvest. And God has commanded us, pray for one another. What are your needs? What are my needs? Every one of us should pray. May God strengthen our hearts tonight. Let's bow our heads.